Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 30. Talbert Gretchen. Origins. 5. Talbert had shut himself up in his study room. The only time he left was to visit the Grand Library to return or borrow books, to gather his project supplies from a variety of departments in the academy, or to restock on food, which he then ate in his room. It had been 2 weeks. Donelia had only seen him 3 times. The first time they had sat together, he had tried to smile and tell her of the many happy times his family had spent together. He could never finish the stories before the tears came. The second time she had seen him, he was in the halls. It was 5 days after she had last seen him, and 7 days after she had contacted the spirit. He was carrying a bound collection of iron pipes of different lengths and diameters, and was oblivious to all around him. Only when Daniela had shouted his name did he notice her. They didn't talk long. Only a few sentences were managed before he told her he needed to get the pipes to his room. She offered to help. He refused. He looked tired. His eyes were red. 6 days later, she saw him in the library. He was leaving with a stack of books. He looked hollowed out. His eyes had deep, dark rings outlining them. His skin, normally a rich chestnut, looked waxy and yellowed. She called his name and tried to make her way over to him, but he was already heading out the door. The school noted her concern, but was not willing to take any actions. Talbert was in regular contact with Instructor Hill, albeit through notes. The instructor had not actually seen him, but that was not unusual when both student and teacher were active in their own projects. A staff member smilingly assured Daniela that it was not unusual for such high-level students to become quite obsessive when working on a project. Yes, it was unusual for a student to become so single-minded this early in his academic career, but it was not unheard of. The smiling staffer then questioned if perhaps her boyfriend was just sending her a message about their relationship. Daniela fought back the urge to slap the staffer's patronizing, smiling face. For all the academy's vaunted learning, it still could not apparently eliminate staffers who saw a concerned young woman as just a girl with a crush. If the academy was not willing to provide any official assistance, then she would just need to find aid from another student, and she knew just who to turn to. Glabus' stated project was clockwork dolls and puppets. He had spent the last 2 years working on an intricately designed stage show where the performers were a collection of figurines whose tick-tock motions told a story of love and loss. His instructors claimed that Glabus was transforming a child's toy into a fine art, which was true. The difficulty was that his true interest in such clockworks was in how they corresponded to locks. If he was interested in making a better lock, the Academy would proudly support him. However, Glabus's interest was in the opening of locks through thought unbeatable. The Academy would not be supportive of a student who saw the provided education as the perfect ground to learn a trade which he fully intended to use in illicit fashion upon graduation. However, what was a secret to the Academy was known to Daniela. When she asked for a favor, Glabus jumped at the chance to put his skills to the test for a fellow student. Which was how, 1 week after she had last seen him, 13 days since she had last spoken with him, Daniela gained access to the perpetually locked project room of Talbert Gretchen. It smelled musty and sour. That much she expected. Talbert had been holed away in here long enough that the room had no other choice but to absorb his sweat. She did not expect the sight that greeted her. Scraps of metal filled the room. Long pipes, half the height of a man, and of various circumferences, were scattered around. Some were split in twain, some were bent, and some were half exploded and blackened. There were other hunks of metal, things resembling small saucers and bowls attached to miniature hammers, various gears. Scattered throughout were metal beads, ranging in size from that of a small pill bug to heavy acorns. The light breeze swept into the room and stirred ash, burnt paper, and spilt powder. The wreck she was confronted with did not fit with her image of the meticulous Talbert. "He's filthy," said Glavis, as he toyed with one of the metal gears. "He's in pain," said Daniela, as she carefully touched nothing. The room was his scar. After seeing it, she did not know if she was relieved that Talbert was not present to see her invade his privacy, or angry at him hiding away his grief. "You should leave." "But we just got here. I thought we were going to look around, investigate." Glavis was examining one of the larger beads that looked as if its surface had been extensively hammered. "I think I should do it alone." Glavis looked up into her face and saw the sadness there. He shrugged his shoulders, slipped the grape-sized metal bead in his pocket, and left Daniela alone in the chaos-strewn room. She tried to sort through his desk and shelves for any type of clue on what he was working on. She found documents comparing metals, texts on engraving metal, and vague references ranking fuel sources, from efficient to dangerous. Nothing she found in the mess gave any possible location as to where he might be going. "Where are you hiding?" she asked the empty room. "Why are you hiding?" When a response actually came, Daniela jumped. "I believe he is hiding, Ms. Davidor, because he knows what will happen once the Academy Regents learn that he has been working on this." Instructor Hill stood just outside of Talbert's project room. Perched on his outstretched fingers was the grape-sized bead that Glavis had taken with him. "Instructor Hill, I didn't hear you come in." "No, you would not have." Hill surveyed the room, casually walking through its disordered state and flipping through the papers and scrawled notes he found. To Daniela, he looked like a falcon circling prey. "I encountered your colleague in the hall. I found it curious that he would have such an object as this in his possession. Even more curious was that he was not aware of its purpose. He was quite quick to reveal that it was discovered in Mr. Gretchen's project room." Hill's eyes focused on her. The image of a hunting falcon grew stronger. "Are you aware what this might be used for?" "Well, I suppose." It was hard to search for an answer with those eyes staring at her. "No, I am not aware of its usage." "That does not surprise me. As much time as you spend fluttering about with spirits," Hill practically spat the word at her, "I would be surprised indeed if you had a great understanding of the material world." Daniela's face felt flush. She was aware that not all instructors saw value in her project, but it was rare for them to voice open disdain. "Since you have taken to breaking both Academy rules and the lock on Mr. Gretchen's door, I surmise you have not of late seen the young scholar?" "No, sir, I have not." Her voice was level. It would serve no purpose to show her irritation to him, who she was presently seeing not as a falcon, but rather as a preening buzzard. "I suppose he has found a more suitable dalliance." Was he trying to hurt her? What would be the point of that? Was he just flaunting the power that he believed he had? "Still, if you perchance to see young Talbert, you are to pass on the message that I have seen his notes, and have surmised what sort of project he is working on." "Shouldn't you already be aware of his project?" "I am speaking, of course, of his real project. Glavis, it seems, is not the only student who is disguising his true purpose while here at the Academy." In fact, I imagine there are several students with ulterior motives. However, there are two very important factors that sets Mr. Gretchen apart from those other students. He paused, knowing Daniela would ask the question. And those factors are? The first is that he has the good fortune of having myself as his overseeing instructor. Unfortunately, I do not like being deceived by my students. It is less the deception, but the insult that goes along with the belief that a mere student would think themselves clever enough to fool me. Again he waited. She did not want to give him the satisfaction of asking the question. The silence grew heavy between them. She wondered how important the second factor would be to Talbot. Instructor Hill slowly turned to leave. "What is the second factor?" she blurted out. He faced her impassively. "Instructor Hill," she finished. "The second factor is that should my conclusions prove correct, and I have no cause to doubt them, Mr. Gretchen's secret project will see him expelled from the Academy."
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook
by searching for the Brent Thomas author page.
This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour.
The best way to support me and my work is on patreon.com/Brent Thomas. Even a pledge of $1 a month can make a real difference. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends. And you know what? Have a great day.